Yo.
We are live. Right, guys, welcome back for another episode of Brickcoiners. This week we're talking about the double spend situation, or not double spend. I don't know what the outcome of that was. MicroStrategy have been buying more Bitcoin. OKCoin are adding Lightning. The white paper is potentially going to be removed from Bitcoin.org. Janet Yellen, who is the US Treasury Secretary, had something to say about Bitcoin.
Dave this week.
Dave. Oh, God. Sorry.
Who? Gone but not forgotten.
I forgot to mention him at the start. God, sorry, Dave. yeah, no, Dave. Just us three today.
Yeah. I completely, as you're reading that out, I'm just sat here thinking, this week's been quiet for the industry, I thought, and then I'm realizing, oh god, there's been so much going on in this industry already this week.
It's been mad.
Crazy.
It's keeping up.
Right, well, let's kick it off with, Danny, you're top of the list anyway that I wrote down, so double spend.
Go on then, jump in that. Frustration. fake news. More fake news. just like HSBC banning Bitcoin. Unfortunately, I think people like, I suppose it's journalism, isn't it, where they try and get the hot topic and jump on the story as quick as they can, but they're jumping on without the full information and then sharing something that then other people jump on the back of, and it just creates this snowball effect of fake information, fake news. Mm. So the double spend occurred, and BitMEX research, they have like a research department that looks into all this stuff. They highlight things like this on Twitter and other socials. So they highlighted that there was a double spend attempted. And what they initially thought was someone was actually playing around trying to do it, because they didn't think it was an RBF transaction replaced by fee. But then under further investigation, they realized it was a replaced by fee. I think it was just a bit weird the way the transaction had eventually got into the block. So they'd created a customer, had created a transaction. An individual has created a transaction. They paid with too small a fee. I think it was almost a zero fee, from what I remember someone saying. They then had waited a while. Obviously, it hadn't got into a block, so they created a second transaction using RBF, which was basically to bump the fee up of the original transaction. That then still didn't get into a block, so they then did RBF again and upped the fee further to try and get into a block. They then had effectively three transactions, shall we say, out there in the wild that people were trying to mine away at. And the transaction one and transaction three got caught in a block at exactly the same time. And because two blocks can be mined at the same time by two different miners, which is exactly what happened. And it was just a coincidental timing when this happened. And then what happens with that is the longest chain effectively wins. So the one that then gets a next block added on top becomes the longest chain, should we say, in the winning chain. And the other one then becomes orphaned and drops off. So you've got an orphan block. So that then disappears. Along with it, the transaction that was in that block, which was transaction three. So that disappeared. So transaction one actually got in the block eventually. And that one is the one that is on the Bitcoin network. The other two transactions don't exist anymore. They've disappeared. They've gone. They're not double spent. so that is the mechanism put in place to prevent double spending. So it did exactly what it says on the tin. It did exactly its job, and it prevented a double spend. So it wasn't ever going to be a double spend. There was no, you know, Bitcoin worked as it was meant to and as it was coded from pretty much day one, in terms of how it handles double spends there. It's just people didn't understand what had gone on there, and they shouted about something that didn't happen. If it was a genuine double spend, then the protocol was broken and something has gone terribly wrong. And there'd be a lot more panic from the inner community, shall we say, than what happened there. Honestly, I'd popped into the office, hadn't I, actually, during this in the morning, and somebody mentioned to me, oh, have you seen about the double spend, and mentioned a few things, and I was like, oh, okay. And that I what didn't faze me, it was like, you know, that's normal, it happens, it's more common than people think. And it did, and I knew Bitcoin was going to do exactly what it's meant to do and handle the double spend attempt, which it did. So it was like, it's if you understand what's going on there, it's not even a nothing, it's below a nothing. It's like, okay. So
just the media has made it something.
It's worth noting, I suppose, that RBF transactions, like Danny said, replaced by a fee, are completely normal as well. A lot of people use them for when, you know, if there's a mempool backlog in their transaction, they need it confirming sooner, they'll just go in and replace by fee, which creates a brand new transaction, but that's completely normal, just to make people aware, because if they've never done that before, they might be confused.
Yeah. I was going to say, does this sort of thing like happen often, or...
Orphan blocks. So there's two different things have kind of happened there. There's been someone's done the replace by fee and it's created these multiple transactions, and then there's the orphan block, which has then made it look like it's a double spend attempt. So the orphan block thing, yeah, that happens often. I can't remember how often that is. It's maybe once a week, or I can't remember now what the detail is. But that is a common occurrence. That's just two miners mining a block at exactly the same time. They then spread that out to the network, and effectively, as I mentioned there, the one that then becomes the longest chain is the winner, the other one disappears and doesn't exist effectively. Which is why part of, you know, Satoshi initially set out, make sure six confirmations is secure, and not one confirmation, because that can happen, and that's part of the mechanisms in place to prevent things like double spending. So it did its job and it did what it was meant to do. So everyone panicked over Bitcoin doing what it's meant to do.
Yeah,
it makes no sense.
I suppose the surprising thing, for me was seeing industry related news sites report wrongly as well.
Yeah,
it's like they're the ones that should know how it works and should be reporting the correct information, but even those guys clearly didn't know how Bitcoin worked. Which just shows us how early we are when people in the industry still don't know.
Yeah, I put a tweet out saying exactly that. The days like yesterday remind me how early we actually are, because you see things that happen like that, and it's just, it is a bit more of a techie thing to understand of how that works. I appreciate that, but, you know, it's the same horror stories recycled over and over again. It's just incredible. But yeah, we're going to get it. What's going to happen this year, I'm sure, as price moves up and influx of new people come in, we're going to have to educate all over again and live Groundhog Day all over again.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So I suppose the question is, do you think that caused the dip and the panic sell? Or
I didn't think so. I think maybe it added to it. But I think we were already seeing a little bit of a cool-off period at the minute here. Greed and fear index, you'll see, has dropped down to 40 out of 100 today. So that's like more people are selling effectively, so fear is kicking in. Yet we're still holding at about $32,000, I think we are at the minute. So we're still, it's still in an incredibly strong position. It's new territory. But the dip was, I guess, expected by many. It's part of the dip at the minute. And I think that's maybe okay, potentially added to it to some extent. But I think most people that have been potentially selling, so say people that have sold on Coin Corner recently, are probably not even aware of that double spend news. They haven't even seen it. So yeah, they're still selling because they've seen the price coming down and they're trying to get in and out at the right time and get back in later and things. So they're trying to time the market, and that news probably hasn't affected it in the way people think.
I agree.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's move on to something a bit more people who are buying MicroStrategy.
Oh, yeah, people who are buying the dip. So MicroStrategy today announced they bought another 314 more Bitcoins, which is quite small for them. How much was it? $10
million?
Was
$10
million. Yeah.
A cool,
so just
$10 million.
a small buy for them.
At least they waited for the dip.
Yeah.
That's all.
Shows everyone their faith in Bitcoin is still strong at this price, and they're still buying up as much as they can.
Yeah, they're not selling, they're buying more.
Mm.
Good old Michael Saylor.
I think that, yeah, I think that goes, it wound me up actually, just, sorry, this is an off-topic one, but relevant price and scaremongering, I forgot his name now, something Minard or Minard or some, whatever he's called, the Guggenheim CIO or whatever he is. So Guggenheim were reported to be buying $530 million worth of Bitcoin. And then that was back in, was it December, that start of December, I think. I think you spoke about it, Molly, on the podcast previously. And they, now at the time, I thought they bought that and then initially, and then we realized that actually they haven't. They've put that through for their public fund, which would need approval from whoever their governing body is, I think, and whatnot. So they're going through the process, and apparently I think they can't buy until the end of this month. So he has been originally back in November or December, sorry, he was shouting for $400,000 Bitcoin prices. And then about a week or so ago, he was then shouting, expect when we was at like 40K, he was saying, oh, the price looks like it should go back down now to 35K or whatever. And then yesterday or the day before, he was then jumping on saying, oh, he thinks Bitcoin's going to go back down to 20,000. And stay there for the next 12 months. And it was kind of like, he's just putting out this scaremongering news because he can't buy for another week and a half yet. So he's putting this out because he knows people are going to pick up on it. CNBC, story, whatever it was. And, you know, all these things, the news gets out there and then the media and people see it and the people think, oh, it's going to go back down to 20, so let's sell. And that then in turn forces the price down. Because he's wanting, and the whole thing looks like it's market manipulation by him, where he's looking to try and get into the market at a cheaper price than we're currently at, because he can't buy half. So it was a bit of a sneaky play, and I imagine that also contributed to the price dip as well. Because you know, we do get them. We get, you know, people and know that might not be as close to the industry, and they'll send me news stories, and they'll send me them sort of news stories saying, "Oh, is it going back down to 20,000?" And it's like, you're listening to some guy that is brand new to the industry, that is got $500 million sat there that on the sidelines, that can't quite buy yet, but he needs that price to come down. Because initially, when they'd approved that $530 million, we were down at what, $16,000 or something like that. We doubled the price now. So he's still not been able to get in. So I think it's lots of market manipulation tactics at play as well at the minute.
Isn't it crazy though when you sat here and people are panicking about the price going down to 20K? Like,
yeah,
this time last year we were like at $8,000, and it's just mad that
it's perspective, isn't it? You gotta have that.
Like, I'm speechless.
But crazy. I suppose if you're only just new to the industry due to this bull run, then your perspective is only when you started looking at the price, isn't it? I assume.
That's true. Yeah.
So the longer you're in the industry, the more perspective you have on the longer term.
This is why we're so chill.
Yeah. Sensitive you become to the price, I think, as well. All good.
Okay. Zach, God, you got three topics this week. Wow. You also want to talk about, I know. Greedy. OKCoin are adding Litecoin. Lightning.
Yeah. So as we announced, Coin Corner went live with Lightning a few weeks ago now, was it? In our exchange.
Yeah.
Was it last week? I think it was on last week, was it?
Oh, was it last week?
No, last week we went live with the app.
App last week, sorry. Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah. It was actually 2 weeks ago, I think.
Allowing our users
time
to
fly.
Deposit and withdraw with Lightning. OKCoin, who are a well-established exchange as well, been around a while, announced that they are also going to integrate Lightning in Q1 of this year. Stating general belief in Bitcoin and on-chain fees being high for their customers, so having the Lightning as an option. More exchanges coming into the mix with Lightning, which is great.
Good.
Really good.
We must be setting a good example to them all.
I think one of us, we obviously are smaller than some of the bigger guys there, but I think it just shows that, you know, the smaller exchanges are adding this as well, and the capabilities to do it, you know, these big exchanges have the money and the resource to do it. They're just choosing not to at the minute. And I think it needs more kicking, which the community's kind of giving them a little bit now, and the likes of ourselves, and I know others will soon follow suit. The big guys have to then follow suit at some point as well. And yeah, the fee market is a good kick, I guess, as the fees go for sending Bitcoin transactions. You look to the alternative, which is Lightning there. I think it's happening slowly, but surely it will.
So like Kraken's, this is just an announcement about coming soon. So the proof is in the pudding, I suppose, of when they actually launch it and go live. So they've got good intentions there. So hopefully they follow through.
Who do you think will be first, Kraken or OKCoin?
Should be OKCoin, shouldn't it? So did they say Q2 this year? Q2, Q3?
Yeah, I'm not sure. They're hiring a whole team for it.
Kraken haven't even got a staff to do it. They were hiring them at the start of this year to do it. So it was kind of like they're building that team to then build this product that'll then sit in the company, so that they're quite a bit off, I think, still.
Cool. Your final topic, Zach, was talking about the white paper.
Oh, yeah. So recent drama in Bitcoin, as usual.
Another day, another drama.
So the BitcoinCore.org, the link to the white paper on the website got removed over the last few days. And it got removed from what everyone assumes is a threat from Craig Wright's lawyers. Basically threatening to sue if they don't remove the Bitcoin white paper. I think they also threatened Bitcoin.org as well. But I think Cobra's standing strong there and not removing it from that website. So then this caused a whole drama in Bitcoin and chaos, aimed at one of the core contributors, Vlad, who, you know, we have a lot of respect for, does a lot for Bitcoin and Bitcoin Core. And then basically kicked off a big community-led kind of process of everyone was hosting the white paper themselves on their own their own websites and like tweeting about it and linking to it. So it probably kind of backfired on Craig Wright a little bit.
So it's never going to come out of existence now. It's going to be everywhere.
No. I saw a tweet where somebody said something like, "Oh yeah, you guys are all hosting on your website, but I'm getting it tattooed on my back." That made me laugh.
I saw there was one that was, I can't remember what it was, but there was a clever concept, but it would be hilarious if you did it, but do a tweet chain of, you know, like the have fun staying poor, so everyone does a letter. So everyone does a letter, but spell out the white. And then it would be there forever.
No way would you be able to coordinate that.
I know, yeah. But the good thing about that, if you did that, you would never be able to, like, get rid of that. You can't... Nobody's actually breaking anything there because they're only tweeting a letter. So
yeah.
And then
it's a good idea, good little concept. Quite amusing to see.
Yeah,
so all this is just what I love. I love this about the Bitcoin industry. Something happens and you just take it and run with it. It just turns into chaos.
Yeah. So for those not aware, Craig Wright is a guy claiming to be Satoshi, which all of the community disagrees with. Us ourselves disagree with, but he claims he's Satoshi, so then he claims he has the white paper wasn't released with an open source license, so he has rights to it essentially. So that's why he's threatening legal action on the contributors to the website, and that's why it got taken down essentially.
I think he threatens legal action to everyone he meets. I can think of like at least three people who have got lawsuits involved with him as well.
Yeah. And this is all allegedly, so don't go after us.
Oh, gosh. Chaos, as always.
Yeah, just more drama in the industry this week.
That's what we live for.
Yeah.
Cool. So then I wanted to talk about Janet Yellen. She made the news this week because she's the US Treasury Secretary, for anyone who doesn't know, and she made the news this week because she said cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin are of particular concern for terrorist financing and money laundering, and it's just a facepalm moment, really.
Because so misinformed.
So misinformed. You know, Chainalysis, they put out a report, it was very recent, 19th of January 2021, basically talking about, you know, criminal activity within the cryptocurrency market. And it essentially accounts for 0.34%, so half, less than half of a percent of, you know, criminal activity. Yeah. Yeah. It's just mad. She's not, like, to come out with statements like that.
It sounds uneducated, doesn't it, from somebody in her position saying that sounds ridiculous. It just sounds like she's not the brightest bulb in the box. And I think we discussed this similarly last time, did we, with Dave, and I was saying about, it's either a very stupid comment and she isn't the brightest bulb in the box, or it's a very clever comment and she's trying to go at the extreme level and then try and, if she can pull it back to 50% of what she's shouting about in terms of regulations around it, then she'll be happy. But then it's like she's setting the marker effectively in the sand to say, right, I'm coming in hard at you guys and we're going to meet in the middle somewhere. But actually, she wants to meet in the middle and she'd be happy with that.
That's fine, but I just think it's dangerous with someone with a platform and a reach to say stuff like that when the facts don't. The data doesn't back
it up. It's an interesting tactic. If no matter which way it is, it's a reputational damage. Yeah. And so,
not even the platform and reach she has, the power she has in that position to impose these regulations on uninformed knowledge. That's the dangerous part.
Dangerous
just from pure ignorance of not wanting to learn, not wanting to educate yourself.
It just feels like every week there's someone in a position of power coming out and saying that, because I think the one we talked about in the last podcast, she was the European Central Bank, wasn't she? Another comment. Christina Lagarde.
Same situation effectively.
You just, what you do, you do just facepalm and just think, oh, God. the reports are out there though.
Yeah, it's one of them with the education. We know we have to keep educating people. And as I said before, about, you feel like you're back in 2016 again at the minute, and 2017, and going through this, people are coming into the industry and you've got to educate with the same stuff you did back in 2016, 17. And you're doing it all over again now. And it feels like, God, it's just draining. But I think because it's a new industry and we're growing the way it is, there's no choice but to do that. And you have to, I'm not saying fight against these other companies and regulators or whoever they are. But you do have to kind of help, whether it's educate them or whether push back, and it just becomes part of what we as companies have to do. We've been doing that ourselves. Local government here is a little bit more friendly, obviously, than the Yellen and Lagarde. You know, we've had to also push back and regulate here since back in 2014. So, and I'm sure going forwards, we're still going to have that same thing again.
The pushback is key, really, isn't it? We can't just sit back and take it when we know more than the other side. It's good to see the likes of, you know, recently Coinbase coming out, you know, the biggest exchange out there, even them pushing back on certain things. And it does kind of seem like we're all in it together on pushing back on certain regulation that's just misinformed.
It is.
What can you do?
Draining, aren't they? We're all sat here like that.
I know, feel a bit flat. But yeah, I know sometimes it does feel like one step forward, two steps back. Is that the right saying? Or is it two steps forward, one step back? One of them. But yeah, I don't know. There'll be someone different next week, I'm sure.
Definitely.
Cool. Well, that kind of rounds it up. I don't have a question this week.
I was just going to ask you a question.
I know. Because we're working from home, my brain is like mush.
Yeah. Quick on the spot.
Quick think of one.
Oh, I don't put me under pressure like that.
I have nothing.
I did ask on Twitter, actually, if you could use an emoji to describe your first experience of Bitcoin, which emoji would you choose?
Oh.
First experience.
What was it? First buy? I'm just trying to find it. I said, using emojis, tell me how you felt the first time you bought Bitcoin.
Fire emoji.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good
fire
one.
Emoji. Yeah.
I'd need one that's like just got no idea what it's doing. What's like in one of them? The question mark.
I did the mind blown emoji, like, whoa. Mm. And the thinking emoji and the rocket emoji, because there was no limit on how many emojis you could have. That's quite a good one, actually. It was interesting.
I think the first one, when I first bought it, was kind of, it was a no idea what I'm doing, playing around with it sort of thing. But then it was over a night or two, I think the price really moved, and it was like, I'd made a couple up, you know, it was up, yeah. Like, it made like a couple of grand or something, like, very, very quickly. And it was like, oh, what's going on here? I didn't know what was happening. And it was,
yeah,
it was excitement. And then 2 days later, and then it's, obviously then you start getting into the industry and you see the certain fluctuations, especially back then, it was bigger than they are now as well. But yeah, it was panic, excitement, unknown, a bit of everything, I think.
Yeah, I can't remember my first buy.
Oh.
No, I can actually. It was when I came, I think it was when I came for interview.
Did it before the interview?
No, I didn't.
Was it on Coin Corner or was it on Coinbase?
Yeah, it was in Coin Corner. But that was, I think it was that back when we only had, we didn't even have credit cards or debit cards enabled. It was just bank transfer.
Yeah.
And 10 quids were. Wow. Yeah. How times have changed.
I know. 10 quid back then, we got you a decent chunk.
I know. Shame I sold. No, I didn't.
Wow.
Well, yeah. What about you, Zach?
My first buy?
Yeah.
I think it must have been Coin Corner as well, actually. Yeah, I can't remember. Either, yeah.
You interned with us, didn't you, back in
2015? Yeah, it probably would have been around there.
Yeah.
Definitely don't have that Bitcoin anymore. And for the record, I lost all my Bitcoin in a boating accident.
Oh yeah, I was also keep on saying that. Boat.
Yeah, it just happened. We're all on the boat, just capsized.
Okay, yeah. Well, on that note, should we wrap it up?
Yep. Sweet.
Let's go. I think maybe, I don't know whether Dave will be joining us next week. We'll just have to see.
I think he said he is, so maybe a day early next week. But yeah, I think we're gonna.
Mm-hmm. Maybe don't tell them. Don't tell the listeners because it'll either make them not listen next week or listen. We don't know if they like Dave or not. We're not sure if he's coming back.
Yeah, cool. All good. Yeah. Hopefully the week after back in the office as well and being able to crack on.
Yeah. Cool. All right, guys. Have a good day.
Cool. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Peace.